You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guests will be talking about how he went from 2 rental properties to over $60 million in assets in just 3 years, comprising over 1,500 rental units.
That's right, Charles. He'll also go over his own coaching and mastermind called My First Million in Multifamily, where he helps thousands of investors achieve their goals, and how consistency and not giving up became the foundation of his success. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Man, I'm just super excited for our guest today, man. Are you excited as I am, man?
Dude, I am very pumped. I've never met this individual before, but reading his story has this morning like totally pumped me up. Very much looking forward to getting into this interview.
Man, me too, man. It's amazing. So I have had the blessing of being able to be connected with our guests through his program that he and his business partner founded, which is the My First Million in Multifamily program. And they just like, not only do they achieve such huge success. I mean, he's like an expert in this space, right? And that's why he can teach it. He's an expert in multifamily, self-storage, mobile home parks. I mean, this guy has a lot of skills. And not only do he use all of these skills for himself, but also he share the knowledge with so many others. So I'm like super excited to hear more of his story, right? And you know, William, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, it's just completely amazing how he went from like 2 rental properties to over $60 million in assets in just 3 years, yeah, right?
That's insane. Literally, I want to know what kind of coffee he's drinking and what he's putting in it, because I want some of it. But yeah, very, very excited about that. The growth from, I think he started in 2013 and had a, if I'm not mistaken, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but had a construction company building houses and things like that to begin with, and going to college at the same time. So really, really curious to see. I kind of think I might be able to guess where the transition kind of happened, but I'm really curious to what it was that pushed him into being an investor full time.
Well, you know what? You know, no better way than to ask him himself. So I think, you know, it's time to get the show started, man.
Absolutely.
So with all that being said, man, help me welcome to the show, Jennings Smith. What's up, Jennings? How you doing today, brother?
Hey, Charles, William. Appreciate you guys having me on. It's an honor to be here.
Well, we're excited, man.
Oh yeah, man. We're super pumped, man. And so Jennings, you know, I know that you have an amazing story and our audience is going to want to hear your story. So why don't you start by telling us more about your investing journey and what initially made you decide to do it?
Yeah. Well, you talked about, you know, what are the mental shifts that you have? And I feel like life really uses pain a lot to teach us lessons more than success, you know, and failures more than success. So the first big trial or failure that I experienced was 2008, 9, 10. I had graduated college in 2006. I was building custom homes. I was doing renovations. I mean, right when I got out of college, I started making, you know, 6 figures, doing really well. I thought, man, it's only going to go up from here. I'm so special. I'm so good at what I do. And, you know, in hindsight, the economy was on fire. We were doing great. And that was really lifting my construction company. And so fast forward to 2010, I'm now living in a rental. I've bought a crappy old house that I've got to restore. I'm going over budget on that. I owe the IRS $15,000 because I'd made money the year before, hadn't paid taxes. Now I'm not making any money. I owed my Home Depot credit card, I think $40,000. I'm literally working all day to try and, you know, make ends meet. And then in the afternoons and evenings, I'm going and knocking door to door to try and get extra money. So I would go to Home Depot and I'd buy these little peep sites on my credit card. You know, those like security door peep sites. Mm-hmm. And I would knock on like 20 or 30 doors. And if I could get 4 or 5 people to say yes, I'd say, hey, can I install a peep site for you right now? It's $20. and I could make an extra $100 a day. And I literally needed that to like pay my rent and to keep my power on. So I realized, wow, I'm in a very cyclical business. Like, I'm not doing anything different than I've ever done. And now I went from, you know, the top of the mountain at 23 years old to I'm in the tank at 24, 25. And so I recognized construction is probably going to always be up and down, and I need to have a plan. I need to have assets. I need to think of, I already started thinking about like my retirement and passive income. And so that was the catalyst to start thinking about it. Of course, I was broke, so I didn't do anything about it at that time. But as I dug out of that hole, paid off the debt, you know, the economy came back and construction worked along. I did remember that lesson, and that's what got me to get into buying my first rental property, which was a mobile home. And so, yeah, I bought a mobile home, bought another mobile home. Then I bought two rental homes. I had to put down like 25, 30 grand each. And I got to about 7 units, and I looked at the cash flow off of them, and I'm thinking, you know, this is cool, but if I'm really going to get any significant net worth or cash flow or whatever, I'm going to be 80 before I do that, because I don't make enough money to really save up a down payment and buy and save up a down payment and buy. Plus, it's going to be a nightmare to try and manage 100 or 200 or 300 single family homes or trailers. And that's where I decided that I got to change my model. Something is not going to work long term. I did the math, right? And so, but the first catalyst was, really, I don't ever want to be in this 2010 scenario again.
Dude, that's an amazing story, how you went through all of those struggles and still overcame, man. And so what was it like during that journey when you were struggling? Was there ever a moment that you really like felt like giving up? You know, let's kind of unpack that some more, because I think a lot of people get in the trenches and some people never get out.
Yeah. I definitely was down in the dumps. As far as giving up, I'd always considered myself to be an exceptional person, whether that's good or bad. I'm always like, I'm destined for more. Like, I am not going to be average. I'm going to be in the top 1%. And so I knew that if I just kept my feet moving, this was just going to be a temporary situation. But absolutely. I mean, it was incredibly humbling. It sucked. I mean, I didn't want to go knock door to door to door, but it did teach me, hey, when stuff gets hard, you do have the ability to do whatever it takes. And as long as you keep trying to take the next right step, this too shall pass. I mean, we've seen that with what's happening right now. I mean, think about 2020, 2021, even into 2022, real estate guys, syndicators on top of the world, man, they're the smartest guys in the room. They're making millions of dollars and doing all these deals and amassing thousands of units. And, you know, look at what happened, right? The Fed starts raising rates. They go up 400 basis points, 500 basis points in 18 months, and the tide comes out, right? And so one, you see who was swimming naked, right? Who wasn't really buying deals and protecting the downside and insulating their risk. But two, you also see who gives up when the going gets rough. And so that being said, this time period will pass and good times will come again. And we're kind of already seeing a glimmer of that. A lot of the uncertainty in the market is starting to dissipate. You know, the Fed hasn't raised rates in November, December. They kind of all but said, we're done raising rates. We're probably going to lower rates. And so in 2024 and 2025, I think we'll be in a lot different situation than we were in 2022 and three. And so, you know, I think that having that mindset of, even if things are hard, they're not always going to be that way. You're not always going to feel like this. And when you start just dwelling on what everything is wrong versus, man, what can I do today, this week, this month to impact the future? How can I keep making a little bit of progress? I think that's a huge key.
So in that, Jennings, did you end up getting with other investors or like-minded people to help you propel yourself into the future or to become more successful? Did you get around other people, or was this you grudged out yourself?
So I started with trying to figure it out myself, and it took me a lot longer than it should have. So the first thing I did was I asked a mentor, banker, friend of mine. It's like, hey, I want to have 1,000 single family homes. Like, I wrote down that goal. I want to have 1,000 doors. He's like, hey, you know, that's not a good strategy. You're going to be radioactive to banks. I don't know that you could even get that many loans. It's going to be a nightmare to manage, and you're personally guaranteeing all this debt. He's like, if you really want to scale like that, then you need to consider commercial real estate. That's what the big boys do. They do apartment complexes, they do self-storage, they do strip malls, whatever. And so that was like the first crystal of like, wait a second. Okay, maybe I'm not even on the right path here if I really want to scale. And I think if you want to get 10 or 15 rental homes, pay them off and have a nice little retirement, that's fine. That model works really well. It is fairly simple and you can do it yourself with no partners. You just have to save up the down payments and kind of keep chugging along. But if you want to build a $50 to $100 million portfolio, I mean, unless you're making millions of dollars a year, you're probably not going to get there alone. And so that was sort of like, okay, well, I get it, but I can't buy an apartment complex. Like, you think about something and when it seems impossible, your mind dismisses it. It's like, okay, to buy a $2 million complex, you need a $500K down payment and you need to qualify for a $2 million loan. You don't have either one of those pieces, so that's out of the question. And I feel like a lot of people just start there. They stop there. They think, this is impossible. I can't do it. And so why would I try to solve an impossible problem? But I kind of kept learning about this stuff and seeing, oh, you know, you can buy stuff with no money down. Maybe there's creative financing. And I talked to my dad about that. And he's like, oh, that stuff is all crap. It doesn't work. It's just, you know, it's just scams to sell you on courses and whatever. Don't pay attention to that. And, you know, I love my dad. He's given me a lot of good advice, but that wasn't really very good advice because I took it seriously. And so, you know, a couple more years slipped by without really thinking that this was even possible. And so finally, I would say a huge mindset shift for me was Grant Cardone, the 10X rule. So love him or hate him, I really did need that book at the time in my life where I'm listening to this book on Audible. I'm running. I'm starting to get in shape. I'm trying to keep my health up. And I'm listening to this guy and he really shook me up because he's like, this is going to take you longer than you think. This is going to take more action than you think. And things are only going to get more expensive. It's going to cost more than you think to raise kids and retire and have a, you know, be able to go to afford health food and et cetera, all the stuff he talks about. And you got to get going now. And I had just had my first child. And I think that's a catalyst too. You recognize, whoa, I'm responsible for a person and I can't just, you know, scrape by. And at the end of the year, I pretty much spent all the money I made. And so I listened to that book four times in a row and it really motivated me to seek a better avenue because I knew that construction was not really my path. Like, I mean, I was a solopreneur pretty much. I mean, I had 8 or 10 employees, but it wasn't a scalable model. It wasn't a business that I could sell. Yes, maybe it could make me 150 to 250 a year and I could make a good living, but it was never going to really get me to where I wanted to go. And so that's when I started studying and I bought a course. I came across Michael Blanc online. You may have heard of him. And guys, I mean, my mindset was so broken. I was like, $1,000? Like, I can't spend $1,000 on this internet course. Like, what is this? I mean, this was back in probably, 2014, 15. And I had never bought anything online, you know, other than like Amazon. And so then I was like, no, I literally clicked, no, I'm not going to buy. And he said, hey, well, do you at least want to buy my analyzer? It was like $129. All right, I can do that. So I buy the analyzer and then he immediately sends me an email. It's like, hey, if you buy the course within 24 hours, I'll apply what you paid to the analyzer to the course. I was like, all right, I got to do that. That's a good, he clicked me into it. And so I bought the course and it was mind expanding. I mean, because now I'm learning concepts about things that I didn't even know were possible. You know, that you can generate income off of these things. You can make acquisition fees. You can sell this stuff for a profit. And he really took it down to like how to get started, like with a 12 unit, a 16 unit. Like, he didn't talk about buying 200, 300 doors. And that's kind of how I focus my program is, you know, you need to bite off what you can chew and what your mind can handle, right? What you can get your arms around and believe that you can do. And so
crawl, walk, run, so to speak, and don't try to start out with a marathon right off the bat.
Exactly. And also the risk. I mean, if you get into trouble on a 12 unit that has a, you know, $2,000 a month payment, like, you're probably going to be able to figure that out versus if you're, you know, I've got an apartment complex. My mortgage is $48,000 a month. Like, if that thing goes sideways, you know, that's a lot of capital outlay to fix that problem. So, you know, you definitely want to get there. And I see that. I think that's one of the main issues we're seeing today is syndicators that just, they ate the world. You know, they grew too fast and they got intoxicated with their door count and closing things just because they could close them versus, hey, this is a dynamite deal. So anyways, I go through this course and it's extremely important. I mean, it's enlightening. I'm like, oh, wow, I can raise money. I can do deals, et cetera. So I immediately start looking for deals. And as I'm getting into it, I'm realizing, wow, these are pretty heavy decisions. I mean, I'm talking, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million decisions. And all I've done is taken a, you know, 8-hour course. Like I really didn't feel qualified to do it at that point. And I think most of this is like this, you know, people buy a course, they get excited about the concepts of it, but then they recognize, well, I don't have the network. I don't have the loan sponsor. I don't have the capital. I don't have the mentoring. I don't have somebody looking over my shoulder, holding my hand. But, and so then they stop. And so, and that's what happened to me. You know, I looked around for a couple deals for a few months, and for 2 years, I really didn't do much. I would go back to the videos. I'd go on LoopNet or Crexy every once in a while, try and see if I could find something, and never could make it work. But I didn't give up. And that's where Yaden says this all the time. You know, people that show up with 90% effort 10% of the time, you know, they've got a worse chance of succeeding than someone that shows up 90% of the time with just 10% effort. Mm. And it's sticking with it. So in the beginning, I was excited. I'd say it was 90% effort, but it tapered off, but I never stopped completely. And I kept going back and I kept learning. And I mean, I put together some pitch decks. I tried to raise money. Investors told me, hell no, you don't know what you're doing. Banks told me no. But I kind of kept going until I stumbled across a 12 unit in North Carolina. And literally, this was 2 years after I bought this course. I stumbled across this. It was $250,000. I'm like, why is this property so cheap? You know, what's wrong with it? Well, it was losing money. They had a very expensive management company on there. They weren't charging for water, sewer. Their rents were extremely low. They were double paying on their trash. Like they were paying the city for trash collection. And they also had a dumpster. And so as I dug into this, I thought, you know, if I did a utility bill back, I got rid of the dumpster and put trash cans up, and I got a new manager that charged me, you know, 8 to 10%. This deal could actually make money. It's not a bad deal. It's a small market, but it's full, and he's $200 under market rent. And so I'm going to take a chance. So I went to the guy and I said, hey, listen, buddy, I like your property. I'd like to buy it, but no bank's going to finance this deal because it's losing money. Now, the truth was I couldn't get that loan. I probably could not have even gotten a $250,000 loan at that point. But that was my pitch to him, was like, your property's a problem, not me. I'm very, but he bought into it. He was like, okay, you know, I see that. I said, so, you know, what's it going to take for you to finance me? He said, well, if you put down 30%, I'll finance the other 70%. And I'll give you, you know, 5-year loan. So I said, all right, I'm really close. Now all I need is this down payment. So I need a $75,000 for the down payment. I need another $15,000 because there was some miscellaneous stuff that needed to be repaired and closing costs, whatever. So I'm close. So, man, I put together my plan. I mean, I'm digging through the financials. I know exactly what I need to do. And all I had to do was do a utility bill back, get a new management company, get rid of the trash, and this thing was profitable. That's all I had to do. I didn't even have to raise rent.
That's insane.
And so I put it all together in a very organized format, showed the value, and met with an investor. He told me no. You know, you don't have any experience, whatever, whatever. Kept going, met with another investor, and he was interested. He's like, you know, this looks pretty good. What's the split? I said 60-40. 60 to me, 40% to you, straight up. No, there was no preferred return because I was scared of that. I didn't know how to structure that. So I just did 60-40. And he's like, well, why don't I get 60? I'm putting up the money. And I was like, listen, man, money's everywhere. Money's the easy part. I got this deal. It's a jewel. I'm going to operate everything. I'm doing the loan. Like, take it or leave it. Which in hindsight was pretty ballsy because I don't know if this guy told me no. But he was like, okay. You know, I just wanted to push back on you. That's fine. I'll do the 60-40. And so he gave me the $90,000 and we closed the deal. And I had already lined up my manager. You know, they took over. We implemented the utility bill back, got rid of the trash, and it started working, and it was cash flowing. I think, you know, I think it was cash flowing like $15,000 to $2,000 every quarter. So now I'm getting paid, like, cause we own it 60-40. I'm like, oh, cool. There's a cash distribution. And so I would send him 40% and I would keep 60%. And I mean, those little checks at that time were so important to me. I was just like, not that I really, really needed them, but it was just, this is working. This is actually.
And proof of concept.
Yeah. And so we kind of go along for about 18 months and then I'm actually able to raise rents 10-15%. And so now it's clicking along and I'm still kind of under market. And I think, you know, I wonder if somebody would want to buy this from me. And so I put it up for sale. Like I just created a little offering memorandum myself, I posted it in my Facebook group that I've been growing now, which I think is how Charles is connected to me. And somebody reached out. They lived local and they bought that property for like $419,000. And I had bought it for $250,000 18 months ago. And I really hadn't put any CapEx into it much, but I had fixed the operational problem. And he saw that the rents were still under market and he could go, he knew the market better than I did. So he knew what he could do with it. And so bam, 18 months later, we sold it. And, you know, we netted, what is that, $165,000, something like that, after closing costs. And so went back to the investor. Here's your $90,000 back. And here's 40% of 160. So, you know, he got another $60,000-$70,000. And I got like $90,000. And I was like, man, I'm a syndicator. I got it. And it worked. And in the meantime of that 18-month span, I had bought some other properties. But yeah, what I think really took me so long was that I wasn't plugged into players that were thinking bigger and doing bigger things. Because after I got that deal going, it was about a month or two later, I went to a conference and it was a multifamily conference. And when I was there, I met a guy who was, you know, he seemed like he knew what he was doing. He seemed pretty sharp. And I didn't want to like have commission breath and be all over him, but I really wanted to do a deal with this guy. And he had an opportunity down in Charleston, where I live, a mobile home park that he had under contract. And I was like, oh yeah, man, dude, I'll check it out for you. So I go down there, I walk the park, I underwrite the whole thing. I see his cost basis, I see the CapEx, everything. I write out all the models. I'm like, ah, dude, this is really not a good deal. You're paying like $1 million too much for this thing. But he saw the legwork that I'd done, you know, talking to realtors about flipping off a little piece of raw land, how much it would, I mean, I quoted out like redoing the roads. Like, I mean, dude, I did a lot of work on this project. And he said, look, we're not going to do this deal together, but I think I want to work with you. And little did I know, he's connected to a guy who trusts him implicitly that's worth, you know, $100 to $200 million. I mean, that they already own like $100 million worth of real estate. They owned a bunch of those aging facilities and they wanted to buy multifamily in the Southeast. And so we found a 19 unit, brought it to him. He's like, yeah, we'll sign the loan. We'll fund the entire down payment. I was like, yes. And then we found a 64 unit and they said, okay, we'll sponsor the loan, but we're not bringing any money to the table. And that's where it got real, because now I got to raise $1.2 million to buy this deal. And this is where, you know, the growth happens, because I'm like, man, I mean, I raised $90,000 one time. They funded the whole thing. Now I got to raise $1.2 million. What am I going to do here? But so I was like, I'm going to press the easy button. I found a guy who said he could raise me like $1 million. Me and Yaden raised $200,000, and we're literally 3-4 weeks from closing. And he's like, listen, dude, I can't raise it. I only raised like $200,000. So now we're 800K short. We're closing in 3 weeks. This is like my first big deal. So I call the rich guys, my partner, and I'm like, listen, buddy, we got a problem. So he jumps in, starts raising money. Me and Yaden buckle down. And I think he raised $200,000 or $300,000. And we raised the other $500,000. And I mean, I was literally calling every single person in my phone, like trying to get this deal across the table. And we did. We got it across the table. 2 years later, we refinanced it, got all the investors cash out, put it into non-recourse debt. And 2 months ago, we sold it at a $1.9 million profit. So I'm glad I stuck with that. And it also gave me the confidence that you can raise money. And that grit, right? That grit of like, when the rubber meets the road, I'm not going to give up. And I mean, I don't know if I had failed, I don't know that I would have quit, but I just kept taking the next step of, instead of just collapsing in fear and being like, this doesn't work, the guy flaked out on me, I'm just gonna let the deal die. We kind of pressed forward with that. So, and it
sounds
paid
like
dividends.
You started becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable. You started putting yourself in situations where you were forcing yourself to grow and just saying, I gotta do this, so I'm gonna do it.
Well, and dude, I mean, the risk too. Like, I mean, my wife came to me like a week or two before we closed, and she's like, if this doesn't work, we're going to have to move. You know, you're personally guaranteeing a $3.8 million loan. You've raised money from everybody that we know, you know, friends, family, whatever. If this thing goes down, like, this is going to be bad. And so, yeah, I mean, the gravity of what you're doing, it really hit me, but I knew it was a great deal. I knew it was a undervalued deal. I mean, we bought it for $60,000 a unit. We put, I think, $15,000 into the rehab per unit. So our basis was 75 and we sold it for 106,000 a door. So it did work.
Wow.
But yeah, it was, the stakes definitely jumped up versus buying another mobile home, you know?
Dude, that's amazing. Man, I just love your story. And I'm just seeing that constant theme of resilience, not giving up. And I think that's so important to help investors get to that next level. I mean, you've done some, like William said, you know, you got yourself uncomfortable. You've done some deals, nothing or little down. You've done so many different things to break through that next level. And I know also that you are, you and Yaden, like y'all are like experts at growing communities online. And that can often be a way to kind of scale businesses up. But what I also like about that way is not only are you getting the business benefit, but you're also getting the benefit of helping so many people. And I know you have a free group and a paid group as well too. So can you talk more about how you were able to generate $1 million a year from Facebook groups? Man, that's mind blowing. I think our audience who's trying to get to that next level, they're going to want to know, man. Like I want to know.
Yeah. So that also came from mentoring. So I joined a mastermind, the Dealmaker family. Mark Evans leads that. I was in that for about 3 years. And when I joined, it was 35K a year to be in it. I think it's 50K a year now. But when I did that, about 4 years ago. And I think I had like 50,000 in my bank account. So I wired him 35. And I mean, my wife was like, what? You know, you did what? And when I was telling Mark, like, man, I don't know if my wife's going to be on board with this. He's like, hey, she already knows you're crazy. You know, just prove her right.
That shit sailed and she couldn't get off.
Yeah. But I jumped into that group and Mark, he's really good with relationships and he understands the power of email, networking and marketing and getting yourself out there, where the more people that know who you are, right, the more opportunities that you're going to have, the more opportunities you have to give and help other people. And so he kind of encouraged me along that path. And so when we started that Facebook group, I just started it to like, hey, maybe I can get some investors out of this. Maybe I can get some deal flow out of this. But then once he told me that, I started pouring into that and I started capturing email addresses and I started giving away tools and I started to do a show every week with Yaden on talking about real estate. And I mean, it grew to 26,000 people are in there now. And so that was like it was just listening to a guy who's been there to say, if you can build a machine, right, you're going to be able to get a whole lot of opportunity and help a whole lot of people through that. And so that encouraged me to kind of get out there with social media, with the Facebook group. And so as we did that, there was another gentleman in the mastermind, Matt Larson, who had built online courses. And so we paid him 30 grand and he helped consult to help us build our course, launch it, how to do webinars. And we ended up selling, you know, I think like $70,000 worth of this course at launch. But we had built up a lot of goodwill, right? We'd done a lot for free for like 2 years. And so when we did that, we sold the course. And you know what happened? It didn't work. It didn't help people too much. And I kind of think, I'm like, man, why isn't my course like, why am I getting more success stories? Why aren't people like putting this stuff into action? And I'm like, you dummy. You did the same thing. You bought a course and you never closed, and you didn't close any deals for years. So why would this be any different? People need more than information. And that's where the deal room was born. The people that bought the course were reaching back out to us saying, hey, I want mentoring. I want ongoing. And you talk about getting out of your comfort zone. I didn't want to do that. I was like, man, I don't want to, like, I don't know why. I just didn't want to like create this ongoing relationship with people. I'd rather just, hey, you pay me $2,000. Here's the course. We're done. Our relationship is done. And it was a very broken transactional mindset. And once I opened myself up to being like, okay, The purpose is not to sell a course and make $2,000. The purpose is to get the student to close a deal, to change their life, to unlock their life, which is my podcast. And to do that, I am going to have to be better. I'm going to have a much better program because what I've done so far is not working. And so we created the deal room. Now we just give you the course. Like we don't even charge you the course. We cover the cost of the course because the point is for you to close a deal. That's got to cost something so you pay attention to it and it hurts, but it doesn't cost that much. I mean, it's $400 a month. We want it to hurt, but I don't want it to be like 40 grand, like most multifamily education products that just the barrier to entry is too high. But I think of the deal room as there's a foundation, there's three pillars, and then the roof. The roof is closing deals. And so the foundation is the course. We give that to you. Go through these 8-9 hours of videos. It's going to give you a really good understanding of how do you structure these deals? How do you do them? But then the first pillar that we put on that foundation is mentoring. you know, we have five Zoom calls a week where we're, when the rubber meets the road and you have a $2-3 million deal with a lot of risk, well, let us go through it with you. Let us tear apart your underwriting, put it back together. How should we structure that? Did you analyze the rents correctly? Is the market good? Are you thinking the deal through? Because I don't want you to put an anchor around your neck. I want it to be a blessing for you. So helping to protect them by having this real-time mentoring with people that have thousands of units that have been doing this for years and years and years and can help you avoid some of that pain. That's the first component, is just interacting with them five times a week to get them the support they need when they have a deal. The second,
Jennison,
yeah, go ahead.
And you also do it, you know, very well. I can attest to that too. And I would also add too to that, Jennison, the accountability. Maybe you're about to say it, but my goodness, William, the accountability is unbelievable in the group. Like, you know, I'm in one of Jennison's sprint calls. It's like an accountability session. And, you know, like I held accountable. Jennison, you know, wrote down all of our goals. And I felt like I have to achieve this. I was on vacation too. And I was like, I got to achieve this because I don't want Jennings kick me out of the group, you know?
Well, that's good. I mean, sometimes you really got to have somebody else that's willing to hold your feet to the fire. So that way you will succeed. And sometimes you need that. And I mean, I think a lot of people do, but is there Jennings, before we get too far along, is there anything that we might have missed that you think is really good for our listeners to know? Is there just some little nugget somewhere that you think would be helpful to somebody?
And also too, Jen, as I know I cut you off, I wanted to add an accountability point. So please feel free to finish that point too.
Sorry about that.
No, I mean, that's the third pillar, is the accountability, because like I said, we're results driven. And before we had that, we weren't getting the results that we wanted from our students. And so, you know, plugging them into a small splinter cell of 8 to 10 people, laying out what they want to achieve over the next 6 weeks, having a designated leader like me, Yaden, Crystal, there's a few other leaders to say, yeah, you want to close a deal this quarter, we get it. But what are the actual tangible action items that are going to get you those results? What are the leading indicators that are going to get you the lagging result? And having you say that out loud, documenting it, telling your peers that you respect, like, I'm going to do this week. That's where we found people are actually doing the things that are going to get them into a deal and get them over that mental hump of, well, I can't do this, or I'm intimidated by this. Because William, you said, is there anything I want to leave people with? It's there is no easy button to this. You know, courses, mentoring, masterminds, paying somebody 40 grand. Like, it doesn't, you can't buy success. You have to become a different person than you are. And when I look at the results, right, of our group, man, the people that are showing up day in, day out, the people that are, hey, I'm working out, I'm taking my health more seriously, I'm spending more time with my family, I am reading books, I'm investing in my mind. You have to become the person that owns a $50 million portfolio. You have to become that person before you do. You are not skilled enough to get there, or you'd already be there. If you already had and knew what to do and how to do it and had the connections and network, you'd already be there. But you're not. And so it starts with that personal change of, I have to improve. I have to become, instead of like, what's the slickest and quickest and easiest way to make $10,000 a month in passive income? That's the wrong thing to focus on. How do I become so valuable that people are going to throw that money at me? People are going to pay me. People are going to want me on my team. You know, if you come in to a networking group or the deal room or any other, and it's like, hey, I don't really know how to underwrite, I don't want to be boots on the ground, I don't want to run asset management and operations, I can't raise any capital, I don't have any capital, I don't have any relationships with brokers, I don't have any deal flow, but I want to be a millionaire. Well, you know, so does everybody, right? You're not going to get there. Versus, I'm going to master underwriting, I'm going to get uncomfortable, I'm going to cold call brokers, I'm going to put myself out there, I'm going to generate deal flow, I'm going to talk to 10 investors this week and set up a few meetings and try to get $200,000 or $300,000 in soft commitments. I am going to be where, when there an opportunity comes, I'm a valuable player on the team and people want me on the team, and I'm going to be, you know, able to reap the benefit of that. You know, there was a phenomenal deal that just came through the deal room, and these guys, you know, they need people to raise $1.5 million, and they've got like a couple people out of the deal room to raise $500,000. They talked to me about doing it. And so I can walk into that deal without finding that deal, without operating that deal, without signing on the debt, and I can get equity in that just because of my ability to perform, because I'm valuable to that piece of the team. And so I think that when you start recognizing, how can I become a more valuable person to other people? I have deal flow. I have money flow. I have capital. I have skills. I know underwriting. That's when the magic happens versus just putting your hand out and saying, all right, you know, I took a class. Why am I not a millionaire yet?
Man, this is awesome, man. Man, this has been absolutely fantastic. I believe this show is going to be a really good treat for our audience. And I know, Jennings, that people are going to want to find you. They're going to listen to you more. How can people find you online and how can they connect with you?
Just my name, Jennings Smith Jr., JenningsSmithJr.com. All my official socials are on that website. My podcast is on that website. If you want to learn more about the Deal Room, that's on that website as well. So JenningsSmithJr.com is probably the easiest way.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much, Jennings. And man, I'll see you soon. Looking forward to it, man.
All right, Charles, William, thank you guys.